So, Aletta, you know, the show's based in Belfast, but we met in Dromore, of all places.
Yep.
It's pretty crazy.
I know. Dromore County Down, of course.
Yeah, yeah, well, we don't talk about County Tyrone Dromore. It just doesn't exist. Every time I'm like into Google Maps, like Dromore, and it even gives me that option, I'm like, ugh, it's like that Drake meme. It's like, ugh.
County Down forever.
So, Aletta, you did something pretty crazy. You opened up a American style bagel and pickle shop in a small little village in Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
Why the heck did you do that?
I missed good food. I'm not going to lie. I missed specific food. I missed good pickles. Mm. And that was what started everything off, was I have been here for so long. I kept buying pickles that looked like pickles that had garlic on them. And every time I open the jar, I'm like, what is this? This is not right. So, yeah, I decided to start making them, just playing around just for myself. And then I was giving them to my friends and they were like, oh, my word, these are amazing. And it just all started. I put it on Facebook, I think, Instagram a little. And then I had people come into my kitchen, you know, my house, and buying pickles from all over the place, mainly Americans, because it's a big deal in America, especially Michigan, where I'm from. You just have pickles with everything. We're sandwich people, right?
Yeah.
So you have to have a decent pickle with it, with a lot of different foods. So
I feel like the way we treat brown sauce and red sauce over here is how you guys treat pickles. It's kind of like, it needs a little bit of something. Pickle!
True. It's true.
So you did that classic entrepreneurial thing where it's like you had a problem yourself, you solved the problem for yourself,
yeah,
and then other people wanted that solution.
Yeah.
And I love how just like as you said, just very natural progression, very organic.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, wham, bam, I'm walking into a little alleyway in Dromore, County Down, and I'm sending off a whole jar of pickles down my gullet.
I tell that story to everybody.
Was that your opening day?
Yeah, it was like definitely one of the opening days.
And
it was
such a beautiful day.
I tell everybody the story. Even I had a friend drive me down here today and I told him the story. Yeah, Matt's the guy who ate the entire jar of pickles and drank some of the brine.
I love it. I've also missed it. I mean, I, like I said, I lived in New York for 3 years.
Yeah.
And I just love like the Lower East Side Jewish bagel, cream cheese, pickle, like drink the brine. There's a place called, it's in Alphabet City in Manhattan. It's called The Pickle Guys.
Okay.
Oh, well, Adda, you got to go.
Oh.
They're like these two brothers, maybe something like, but not necessarily that. And they just have like big blue vats, plastic buckets. And inside they just have like it's like going into like a Pick-a-Mix
for sweets, only
for pickles. And it's like, yeah, there's like 30 different types. And yeah, it was pretty special. So yeah, I don't know how I ended up, because you're in a really random place in Dromore.
Yeah, I prefer not the alley. I prefer the lane.
It's good for your street cred.
Lane, okay? I correct everybody.
Yo, this woman, she's dealing pickles down this alleyway, yo.
It's crazy. And I actually, it's funny because the cucumbers that people actually don't know that they're cucumbers, because we just call them pickles in the States.
Sure.
Everybody knows what a pickle is. Here, they're like, pickle what?
Yeah, pickled onion.
Gherkins. I'm like, I don't even know what a gherkin is, right?
I don't even know what a gherkin
like,
is.
What is that? They're cucumbers, but they're not your normal English cucumbers, right? Mm-hmm. You know, they're field cucumbers. They're pickling cucumbers, which are actually kind of hard to get. Any farmers out there growing good, healthy cukes, let me know.
Right, so the wee mini ones.
Yeah, well, not the really mini ones, okay, right?
Okay, okay, talk to me.
They're like medium
size,
you know, they're not the tiny, little tiny ones.
So Goldilocks.
Yeah.
What? Not too big, not too small.
Yeah, and they're firm. I mean, they could go a whole place with that, but they're not meaty, you know, because if you have meaty cucumbers, they're not going to pickle well.
And you say meaty, do you mean like, squishy?
Yeah. Right. So, you know, your big English cucumber.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's pretty fleshy, kind of meaty in the middle.
Just be soggy. No one wants a soggy pickle.
Nobody wants a soggy pickle.
Let's be real.
Yeah. Done a whole place here. But.
So whatever you said, you came to Northern Ireland and you tried pickles, you opened it up. it looked like it could potentially be the one, but then it wasn't. Like, what were you not getting?
So they're pretty much here. They're all sweet, right? The brine's quite sweet. So we would call that, oh gosh, I can't even remember. I've been here that long. It's called something, but it's not called that here. It just looks like your normal cucumber. And so I had to open everyone and see and wasted a lot of money. And then I was just like, come on, it can't be that hard.
Right.
So I just got into it, you know. It was just, I don't know, I think it was before COVID. And it was just like a wee hobby thing. And I was just like, wow, this is actually quite therapeutic, quite nice. And I don't know, it's funny because I don't know how I got into pickles and bagels.
Well, it's like the two are one.
I guess.
You know? Yeah, it's like the yin and yang.
Yeah, if you're a good sandwich person, which I am, you know, it does all go together, really. So I was like, dude, there's no bagel places around here. And the art of bagel making is a whole other thing. Like, one thing I say,
bro, it's a whole thing.
Huge thing.
Like, my wife's German, so that's my influence of European pickles. And also a big, which she made bagels a few times, and I was like, oh, it's a whole thing.
It is.
You have to boil them?
Uh-huh.
What?
Yeah, it's a labor of love. It takes 2 days to make bagels. So, you know, but I appreciate, you know, art.
Mm-hmm.
I would consider myself an artist. And this to me is just another form of art, pretty tasty form of art.
Oh, yeah, man.
But it takes a long time, you know, to learn this stuff and to create this food. Pickles take a long time, you know, even to marry the flavors and all of that. And same with the bagel, you have to hand roll it. And you can taste if you haven't done it right. You know, it's funny because now I've hired a few people and and I can tell each bagel rollers, bagel.
Yo,
it's like a signature, right?
That's next level. I'm like,
she did that one. She did that one. Yep, that one is an interesting one. She did that one.
Crazy.
But it's art, you know, and I love it so much.
I think that's part of the appeal. I've been trying to think about this a lot, okay? It's like, why is Waletta's place so popular? Why is Bethel's Kitchen so popular? And I think it's something to do with that. It's like, in a world of fast-moving consumer goods, it's like you offer something that, like, it's slow and it's intimate and it's personal and it's arty. It's crafty.
Yeah, I love that.
And you've people, like, coming from all over the place.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, who would have thought? It's like, does anything good come from Nazareth? Does anything good come from Dromore County Down? It's like people flock to this place.
Why do
you think they come?
I think what you said is exactly spot on. I also think, you know, I developed a way of sharing my story. Just on Instagram, try to do stories all the time and try to be like really open about myself and my journey and just, you know, I started this in a time where I was dealing with a lot of anxiety, depression, stuff like that. And I think just out of that, taking time to create something and then also to share my story with it kind of all got blended together because I'm a poet as well. So for me, sharing my story is really important because I think a lot of people don't talk about a lot of stuff here. You know, I've been in Northern Ireland 21 years, got divorced, you know, came as a little child bride, not really a child bride, but young bride. And,
just to clarify, how old were you?
I was over 18.
Okay, okay. Thank you very much.
But just young. When I'm looking back, I felt so just, naive and ever the romantic me, and could have made better choices. But you know what? We're here. And I think, you know, being raised in church, going to church and being involved in church for a lot of my years, I think I'm realizing a lot of stuff that's not talked about, such as divorce, such as depression, such as a lot of things. And I think for me, I decided a long time ago to share my story. You know, you don't have to share every flipping bit, but to try to be as authentic as I can, you know, because I think I'm known for, you know, a lot of big laughs, a lot of fun, but you know, there's a lot of things that I think needs shared, you know. And if you can start a business at 40 years old and get some restoration and get some, you know, time to do what I want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I've raised two beautiful girls that are now 18 and 17. They're amazing. And it's just time for me to build, you know. And I happened to come to Dromore. I followed a couple of my friends that moved there and I fell in love with it.
Wow.
Absolutely fell in love with it.
So cool. I mean, this is why we love doing this show. It's why we love doing this series. So the series is part of an ongoing series with NI Connections. They're kind of like the diaspora department of Invest NI. And like, it's the best brief in the world. It's like, find interesting people who have moved to Northern Ireland, or interesting people from Northern Ireland who've moved overseas. Okay. And I love what you just shared about like the importance of sharing your story, because you are what Northern Ireland needs. Yeah. Like, we need like that outside perspective to give us a different way of thinking about things. Like, hey, so you know, you guys like kind of don't talk about anything and haven't for 14 generations. It's like, this is maybe what we do in Michigan a little bit. So NI Connections, they are awesome. They've put together a whole bunch of resources for anyone who is thinking about moving to Northern Ireland to start a business. If you are living overseas, you're part of our expat community that listens to the show all around the world. Hello, good to see you. And there's a bunch of resources on there to help you move back home if it's something that you're interested in doing. You're like, look, you know what? The kids are getting up a little bit. We like the idea of raising our kids in Northern Ireland. I have a business that's growing. Maybe we want to open up an office in Northern Ireland. NIConnections.com is the place to do that. It's also where you can check out, I think it's like 35 plus episodes in the series featuring just like the most interesting and amazing people from Northern Ireland who are living overseas, and amazing people like Willetta who have moved here and set up a life here. So there's a big gap between following your friends to Dromore and opening a business in Dromore.
Yeah.
Fill it in.
It wasn't a huge gap for me, because at this time I was living in Lisburn and I had started the pickling, right?
Oh, this was pre-Dromore?
Yes. So pre-Dromore, when I was in Lisburn, I was selling pickles out in my kitchen. In my kitchen. Making pickles.
You're like Phil Knight selling Nikes out of the back of his boot.
Yeah, no, honestly. And I had people, like Americans, come into my house to pick up pickles. Wow. And pecan pie. Of course, pecan pie.
Oh, I forgot about the pecan pie.
And that was just so crazy. And I was like, I need a bigger place. And like, my friend, she was just like, Letta, we're going to Dromore. Let's have a look for a premises. And it's funny how you said about Nazareth, because obviously, there's the old bank in Dromore, mm-hmm. the old Ulster Bank. And the woman who owns that brought me through it. And it was being remodeled, all this stuff. And it's a beautiful, beautiful building. And I just had a big plan, like, because I've always just wanted a coffee shop. Really, that's right. My end game. And I just saw the space in there. And I was like, yes, this is going to be me. Oh, my word. I can have a kitchen in here. And I just thought it was just so beautiful. Like, that bank's probably older than America. Let's be real. And I just loved it. And then I realized, okay, you have no money.
Yeah, that'll be $14,000 per month. Like,
oh, man, I don't think this is actually going to work.
It's a lot of pickles. You're like doing the back of the napkin. Yeah, if I sell 14 million pickles.
Oh, my gosh. So she was so kind. Her and her partner built me a little kitchen on the outside. So the old bank's garage was just sitting there with rubble and all sorts of stuff. And
bro, this is that Mary and Joseph style.
No, I swear.
There's a stable around the back.
There's a stable. For your
pickle girl, away you go.
No, seriously. My friend actually encouraged me with that. She was like, look who was born in the stable. Look who didn't have room in the inn.
Yo.
I was like, look, I'm about to do it. And that's start hilarious. Where we start, you know?
You wouldn't give birth to Bethel's kitchen right the back?
Down the lane, not the alley, baby.
Lean into it.
Honestly.
People want that roughness.
It was rough. And I, you know, the thing that was really such a kindness is that Allison and Kenny, who are my landlords, actually built that kitchen out for me. You know, they did not have to do that.
Crazy.
I didn't have the money to get a whole commercial little kitchen going.
Yeah.
So they just built it and they kind of believed in me, I think. They definitely did. I think they saw my excitement and my heart. And I just was selling it. I was like, look, I'm going to have the pickling kitchen. no idea of bagels at that point. I was just like, we are going to make pickles.
They went all in on pickles?
Yeah, pickles.
Bro, I love you and your business, but that's wild.
Isn't it? I was like, look, these pickles are flying, right? So, and we were busy. We were doing pickles and stuff. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to start bagels.
Oh, yeah.
Because nobody's doing bagels. Mm-hmm. It's just all developed, you know? And now we have, you know, fat-filled bagels. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're big.
They're stacked.
And, you know, I just love the art of it. Mm-hmm. I love it. And I love the story that I feel like I'm outside of, if you know what I mean. It's like I'm watching this whole thing unfold and I'm just like, what is happening? This is so cool. but then there are the days like the other day where it was just raining and nobody was around. And I'm just like, right, this is serious. I got to keep making money because we can't go back. You know, you can't go back now.
Sure.
And there's a lot more pressure than I thought there was going to be.
You say pressure?
Yeah.
Financially? You know,
financially and just...
Especially now you got people. Yeah. Bro, when you had people... It's kids.
People are like...
It's like your life before kids and after kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hectic. But I'm just like, this is amazing. And then there's the whole social media side of it. Mm-hmm. You know, where the game changed in January.
Tell us.
So
let's do this. Let's do this. Elite. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Paint us the before and sell us the pain. Give us the what happened and then sell us the joy. Let's do proper, like this is an infomercial ad. Like, let's go.
But I might cry. So there's that.
Even better. Yeah. Roska, get ready to clip that. This is going to the moon, this clip. I'm ready.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, like obviously the whole pickle thing, that's a whole different process. You know, it takes a lot for the pickles. And then I'm like, okay, I love bagels. We investigated that, started dabbling in it. I realized once I was in it, it takes a long time. But you know what? They tasted amazing. And all my friends, again, were just like, this is phenomenal. We didn't even know bagels were this, which a lot of people here don't know.
Most people's experiences of bagels, I think I can say this, is the New York Bagel Company things from Tesco's or Super Value. That is literally, I would say, 99.9% Northern Irish people, that's a bagel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I could go into that, but we'll not. So basically, I was just in this, you know, because I'm a creative, I sometimes am in the rabbit hole of, oh my word, the art of it all, but not the actual detailed financial part of it or the paperwork of it and all the hard bits of that. So, you know, I'm busy creating. I'm like, ooh, blueberry bagels. Ooh, garlic and cheddar, garlic and herb. Oh my word.
Sure, I had Guinness bagel one time from you.
Yes, yeah. Pumpernickel and Guinness bagels. Oh, that's what I want. And see that with the Reuben sandwich. Oh, let me tell you.
Sweet Moses.
So, you know, we're creating, I'm creating. And, you know, I'm just like there 24/7.
What time do you have to get up?
3:30.
A.M.
A.M. Yeah. Yep. So it's funny because sometimes I'll be walking.
Doesn't sound funny.
It's funny, but it's funny when you're walking to work and people are walking home.
Right.
Get me? And you're like.
R.I.P. Boyles, by the way.
What? Oh, I know.
How sad is that?
I know.
Let's talk about that later, actually, because we should talk about that.
Yeah, very sad.
So you're walking to work, it's 3:30 a.m., people are stumbling home.
Just a few. Word or more, don't forget. Not go there. Anyways, so yeah, like, in the creative madness, I'm excited and I'm loving everything, but then there's the finances and then there's the, nobody knows where the frig you are. Like, Dremor, people are like, where's your signs? Where are you actually? We can't find you. Blah, blah, blah,
it's
blah,
part
blah.
Of the charm.
Yeah.
You got to work for that bagel.
Yeah, you do.
You got to, yeah.
Wait, it's not the most hunt. Traffic. You know what I mean? but anyways.
Dremor itself is like a diamond in the rough.
It is.
And then Bethel's Kitchen is the diamond in the rough inside the diamond in the rough.
Yeah.
Diamond in the rough section. It's layers.
So, I mean, there's me doing the baking, getting up early, trying to do social media as authentic and as, you know, flavorful as I possibly can. you know, and trying, in my mind, I guess, one of my strengths, I'm pretty sure it's ADHD, is that I can focus, hyper focus on one thing and maybe block out some other things. Mm-hmm. So I do that a lot. it can be a strength, it can be a weakness. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I just remember, obviously, January is a tough month. Everybody knows that in business. And I remember being there in January and doing a lot of shifts because I couldn't afford to pay anybody else to do them. So I was getting to the burnout stage. And I remember actually just being there one day, and I think we made 36 pound. And I'm like, okay, this is scary. Mm-hmm. And what am I doing? And I just literally remember being there. I have a little radiator, the only radiator in the kitchen. And I was sitting there and I was like warm and cozy, but ready for tears. And I'm like, I shouldn't even have this heat on. What am I doing? You know, and actually just even saying to God, like, I need you to help here because I'm pretty sure you started this because only God, in my opinion, can make something out of pickles and bagels. And you're warm.
What's the scripture and verse for that?
I don't have one.
Message translation. Yeah.
Pickles and bagels. So I was you know, at the end of my everything, sitting there. And then I'm pretty sure it was maybe 2 days later. I had noticed somebody had tagged me. You know, people are tagging people all the time everywhere. And I had noticed this guy was doing this thing online, and I was just like, oh, okay. He was pretty obsessed with hot chocolates from what I had seen. And he was going around seeing about the best hot chocolate. And I had started this okay hot chocolate. You know, it was pretty cute. Toasted marshmallows, all this. Mm. And somebody had tagged me. And I was just like, okay, well, I'm pretty much known for bagels and pickles. It's not really going to help. And so anyways, the guy contacted me and said, hey, I might come by and see your place or whatever. And I'm like, cool. And that was like 2 days later after this huge thing. And I'm just like, God, please help. I need more business. This isn't going to last, you know. And the guy came out and he's called Matt from Food Featured Official. And he came down with the biggest energy I've seen in a long time. Maybe ever, you know. He's just this guy. He's super positive, come down with huge smile, down my lane, by the way, and just amazing vibe, right? Mm. And I'm like, hey. And I was a bit nervous because I was like, I don't really, what? So I'm making hot chocolate?
You don't want like randomers coming down your lane, not your alley.
And I thought it was focused on hot chocolate.
Actually, your little place, it reminds me of like a little bit like a cottage.
Aww.
You know what I mean? It's just like, it's like, it is, it's like a little home. So it's quite personal.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's quite vulnerable.
You don't want some outsider coming in there, some non-Dremor person.
We welcome all. But yeah, so I was just like, gonna make a hot chocolate. And he was like, no, I'm here for everything. I want to get a shot of everything. And he was going to do this little video. And I was like, oh, sweet. And he's the type of guy that like has this vibe about him that sweeps you in, you know, and he's excited. You're excited. You're creating. And it's just this instant cool thing. Mm-hmm. And I totally felt at ease with him. And he was just saying, you know, could you make this bagel? And we'll get a shot of it and da-da-da. And I was like, this is amazing. Mm. And it just was such a really nice experience.
Was he filming while this was happening?
Yeah, so he was filming. He brought a film guy with him, John, who was really lovely as well. Same energy, mm-hmm. same, you know. And it was funny because we actually had the Black Patty a couple weeks before that. So I was kind of like trying to gauge, how do we fit? Like, what's the vibes going to be, you know? Completely different, by the way. just completely different. So anyways.
Oh, sorry, I have no idea what the Black Patty.
Do you not know
who
that?
Is the Black Patty?
Come on.
No, I don't know who anyone is outside
no
of Dremor.
Lies. He's pretty much a comedian.
Okay, well.
Yeah, you got to look him up. Do you know him? We heard of him? Wow.
We don't know anything
here. Big.
All we do is talk to people in this room. Outside of this room, we don't care what happens.
He's a pretty big dude. He's like taken off. Pretty big comedian. Anyways, he came down really hyper. Black guy, obviously. lives in Ireland.
I thought the black body was like a new bagel.
I do that.
I was like, is this like a St. Patrick's Day thing? Is it the Guinness thing? Like, what's going
on? He's a comedian around the way. So, cool. Yeah. Anyways, completely different experience. Matt was amazing. Just really calming as well. Because I was quite nervous because I didn't know what to expect. And you're right. It is like a vulnerable place. Mm-hmm. It's my little kitchen, you know. And so he did all these cool angles. He loved the food, of course. And where I was thinking he was going to get a hot chocolate on shot, he got everything, you know, and he got me at the kitchen window. And he just really captured our little place just perfectly. And I'm not going to cry, but I just felt like really blessed. See, that he took his time to do that. You know, there was nothing in it for him except damn good food. And, you know, and he would have paid for that otherwise, you know. But he was just so kind. And what struck me is that an act of kindness that somebody did and chose to do, no gain to themselves, completely turned my business around. Mm. So from him releasing that video, like, the whole game changed. I had to hire more staff, get more food in, like double our orders, and everything. And I was like, it's from January, everything changed. So I'm in shock about it, actually. Like, Kieran Bartlett comes down to Bethel's kitchen, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what is happening? But yeah, I just...
Next time I go down the lane... There's just going to be like all of the comedians. I'm like, is that Black Party?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Crazy.
Wow. And so like, do you know, like, or remember, like, what kind of numbers did that video do online?
Yeah. It went a little viral, I think. Like,
nice.
Yeah. So, but you know, that's crazy to me. It's crazy to me. I don't even know how that stuff works.
Sure.
To be honest. I just keep sharing my little story.
Yeah.
You know, and I still like can't get over it.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah. Also, like, just like brief observation, anytime someone says I'm not going to cry.
Yeah. I'm a crier.
It's code word for, yeah,
get ready.
Are there tissues in this studio? Matthew, is there some in this top right drawer? I think there is actually, isn't there? The bottom left. Bottom left. Ah, see. That's why Daniel's here. Daniel's here. So good. So, I like how you, because I think a lot of people can relate to what you're saying. You are I'll use a bunch of different words. You're a maker, you're an artist, you're a creator. Mm-hmm. And those people are not really supposed to do anything other than those things, right? It's like, another way of thinking about it is there's a guy like called Dan Sullivan, and he talks about you're either a simplifier or you're a multiplier. Mm. I'm a simplifier. So I go really, really, really deep and focused into like one specific thing, like podcasting. And I just make that my everything and I just try to shut everything else out. In your case, this guy Matthew is like a multiplier.
Yeah.
He goes around the place, he uses video, he uses social media to multiply the work that the simplifiers do.
Wow.
And so I love your story for like a million reasons, because I also love your pickles and your bagels and your pecan pie. But... You were so focused on your craft. You were so focused on making the highest quality product in a very specific niche, fulfilling a hole in the market that just wasn't being fulfilled. And all you needed was literally to get the word out.
Yeah.
Like, you were amazing. Your story is amazing. Your energy is amazing. And your product's amazing. But you need that final bit. Mm. And so many businesses die because they don't get that multiplier. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I love the serendipity. Is one word for it, of this angel Gabriel just flying into your, flying into the stable, honestly. And just multiplying everything.
No, seriously.
Wow.
That's an amazing way to put it, and it's so true. Just for what too? Kindness? What? That's just wild to me. That's what baffles me. Mm-hmm. You know,
why is it called Bethel's Kitchen? At first, I thought your name was Bethel. Now I was like, wait, nobody's called Bethel. So I was like, oh, wait, maybe it's Ethel's Kitchen. Because I know a woman called Ethel.
Do you know, can I just say?
I might have even came down the first time. I was like, is your name Bethel?
No, honestly, like, I think all of Drumore knows me as Bethel.
Oh, lean into it. Honestly, come on.
Everybody's like, all right, Bethel. And I'm like, hey.
I love that.
Because I didn't really think about that.
That's like your Lady Gaga.
It is. It's hilarious.
I have become Bethel, maker of bagels.
Well, it's funny because we're talking about Nazareth and all this stuff, but Bethlehem means house of bread. And yeah, I didn't know that.
Wait, Bethlehem?
Bethlehem
means house of bread.
House of bread.
Get out of the studio right now.
I didn't know that at the time, but Bethel means house of God. So that was why I chose it. Because it's just part of our story, part of the faith story of everything being birthed.
House of bread.
I know.
Get out.
Crazy. Crazy.
House of bagels.
I know.
Amazing.
Oh.
And so you called it that for the faith reasons?
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Definitely.
Crazy.
But it's hilarious because there's
all right, Bethel.
All right. No, honestly, I was walking through the car park in Drumore. If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. And, notice how Bethel here said the car park.
Exactly. And there's ewes that hang about, and it was the evening, and you're thinking, oh, okay, I'm just
going to go down
them,
here.
Know,
yeah.
And I'm just walking through minding my own business. And you just hear, all right, Bethel.
Hey, I'm Bethel. Like,
I know.
Your bagels are pretty good. The aggressive compliment.
Like the worst thing that they could say. All right, Bethel. So funny. But yeah.
So let's go back to New York Bagel Company bagels. I don't even know if that's what they're called.
I think they are.
Anyway, So that's our experience of bagels. And it's kind of like, you know, there's been a few bread adjacent businesses in Northern Ireland that have redefined what it means. That's a really weird way of saying. There was the donut thing for a while. And then like Roundhouse Bakery in Hillsborough, shout out to my homies, make the craziest croissants in the world. They are insane. Have you not had one?
No.
Oh,
like too busy rolling bagels.
Too busy rolling in dough.
Yeah. Prophesying.
You gotta check it out. And no one's really doing the whole bagel thing.
Yeah.
So why is our Northern Irish experience of bagels just a mere phantom of what the real thing is?
I mean, I don't know, you guys. Come on. I don't know why it's never really been done here. But again, same for pickles. I don't know why it's not really taken off, you know.
But what's different between what we buy in the shop versus what we buy from you?
Everything.
Tell us more in explicit detail.
I mean, I can't give my secrets away.
Naturally. But it's just rule, rule, left, left, right, right, up, down, triangle, square.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a whole art. It's like taking things back, you know. There's just a whole art. There's a whole process to it that that outcome is well worth the time.
Mm.
And there is a lot of time. And there, even, you know, New Yorkers would say that there are some places where you can tell the difference between the hand-rolled bagels and the machine-rolled bagels. And anytime you add machinery and anytime you add things to make things quicker, you're going to lose something, you know. And that's why you just buy the New York bagels out of Tesco's and you can tell. And it's funny because I had an actual somebody take their time to give me a bad review because they compared my bagels to, I'm assuming, the bagels here that you get out of the supermarket. And they were like, oh, the bagels are really crunchy and they're really chewy. And I'm like, dude, that's why I'm taking my time to make that crunch and chew. That's what bagels are known for, hand-rolled bagels. Mm. So, it's just a whole different experience and taste and texture and everything. So,
Wabi Sabi. You ever heard of that?
Yep.
Tell me more.
Tell you more?
Yeah.
About the sauce?
Oh.
See, I'm thinking sauce.
This is that's what you call that green sushi sauce.
That's what I was thinking.
Wasabi.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Right. So, wait, this is like one of my favorite things in the whole wide world. So, Wabi Sabi is like a Japanese, and watch me butcher this now, right? It's like a Japanese concept.
Okay.
That, maybe the easiest way to describe it would be like, if we had a mug from IKEA, there's like a million mugs in the world that are just like that. Because like you were saying, the machines just like bang them out. I don't know how the machines make mugs, but let's just pretend they do. Versus like, if you went down a lane in Dromore to a potter who hand-potted you, hand-threw you a mug, they could have made like 100 mugs, but every single mug would be different.
Yeah.
Slightly different.
Yeah.
A little bit imperfect.
Yeah.
And that imperfection is called wabi-sabi.
Oh, okay.
And so like what your bagels have is they have a little bit of wabi-sabi.
Love it.
Little bit of like... Everyone's different, like you said, it even depends who rules it.
Exactly.
Changes the actual product itself.
Yeah.
It's a ridiculously niche business question for you. How do you keep the wabi-sabi while maintaining a standard so that it's not radically different and the customer can still get something relatively consistent?
Yeah, I'm learning that.
Okay, cool.
I'm learning that because of January, because we had to hire people and... then teach them how to do things, but then keep it uniform because I'm very,
a word say. That's not anal.
Yeah. I'm very specific about that. Yeah. Because, I've created my dream and I don't want people screwing it up. Right.
Sure.
You know, and it's very easy to do, but I love that individual signature.
Mm-hmm.
Just make sure you
not
keep,
too individual.
Not too individual. Like they're, you know, yeah. So,
has it been hard for you emotionally to let go of that creative process?
Yes and no. I think you gotta really find people you trust, which is not easy. I've been very blessed that I've found dream team people, but then also. I kind of forgot that the hospitality business is a circle of like people come and go and come and go and come and go. And you really need to have a few people that you can trust and pray to God that they stick with you, you know? Because I'm very much, I do things alone. I can dream up things alone, but I need to have people, with me on side, you know? And so I do have a couple. And I think as long as they grab the vision, they're with me on keeping the consistency, then we're going to fly. But burnout's a problem. let's say burnout's a problem. And I think I've experienced
female it. Female dog.
Yeah. we would just cut that over. Ross, we would have bleached you and Ross just went, female dog.
Yeah, it is. So... I can feel that. So I think that nipping at my heels encourages me to trust a bit more as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately, if I keel, there's no more Bethel, you know?
Bro.
Yeah. So
you take Bethel out of the kitchen, it's just the kitchen. Yeah.
So, I mean, needs must and all of that. Mm-hmm. Definitely just can't keep going all the time.
Sure.
You know, so.
And so... who are your people and like, where are they coming from and why are they coming to you? Like your actual customers, because they can't all be from Dromore.
Oh, they're not.
You know,
we've got.
It's just not big enough to sustain the dream.
We've got a lot. It's crazy because I think Dromore is picking up because of, I try to say, and I do believe that we can be a little food hub. We think we have the potential for that.
I agree. What do you call that? Village down in Cork. It begins with K and it's like a foodie central place. It's not Kildare.
My geography is not too strong, so I have no
Google
idea.
Google that for us and get back to us, would you?
Give us a good Google.
I agree with you. I think Dromore has a...
It has a little potential.
It has potential, yeah. There's stuff happening in Dromore.
There's stuff happening in Dromore. And
that little market down
here?
Lane.
Yes, exactly. It is amazing. I mean, counterculture bread comes down for that and... gosh, it's focaccia. It's amazing. I mean, I just love it. And there's so much, you know, I think that, again, we can encourage, I think, if you put it out there, people hear and people come. And so there's a few little places popping up in Dromore. And I just think if we are creating that, then people come. Build it and they will come, you know? And I fully believe that. So I just say, come on, the makers, the bakers, creators, let's do it. and I love like the quirk of it all. One thing I love is that whole imperfection in almost perfection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got the beautiful old building, like, oh my word, that bank. It's stunning. And there's so many actual buildings in Dromore that are empty, that are not being used, that sure. could be used, you know? That's a lot of places, you know? And I eventually definitely need to move mm-hmm. to a bigger spot. Mm-hmm. But I would love to keep my little kitchen still and, you know, have it as a little quirky spot, the mm-hmm. first one, and then grow, keep building, you know, outside Jamor, other places.
Yeah.
But
I mean, you could always buy that old primary school. Oh, bro, it's huge.
It's huge.
Is it asbestos, do you think?
I hope not.
It's just sitting there, and I'm like, why has no one knocked it down? Is it a listed building? Like, what's going on there? Like, there's always, like, work people going in and out of it, and I'm like, what is going on? Have you seen Stranger Things?
Yeah.
I get big Stranger Things vibes from that place.
Oh, yeah, I think there's plans for it, you know? I think there is.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah, I'm on the Chamber of Commerce, baby.
Oh, damn! Because I anytime I take the bus in
yeah.
to Belfast, I'm always like, bro, that's like a co-working space just waiting to happen or something
yeah.
that you cannot reveal because your lips are sealed.
Yeah.
Well?
Is it called the K Lounge?
No. Definitely not. Hang on a second. Like, this is a pretty chilled show. Oh, I will really gosh. Annoy me. So
I nearly
said my... So there's this place that's called the X rated triple platinum. Could that be it? Possibly not. Food Village.
Like Kilkenny Cork. Or something like that.
Places to eat in Cork. Man, maybe I like made this place up. To eat in Cork. Michelin? There you go, guys. This is just some quality content that we're sending your way. Restaurants in Cork. No. It's gone. Anyway, people will literally like...
They will.
They'll write into us and they'll be like, what? How did you not know it was... Beep? But it's this little tiny like, you know, it's like, what the heck happens in Cork?
Yeah.
You know? And it's yeah. like, and then there's just like Village and it's like, there's like three Michelin places at it and there's all all that. I just feel like... Belfast as a city on a big stage, I kind of feel like I often say to people that like Belfast is like the Brooklyn of Europe. It's kind of having this little like artistic moment.
It is.
Where like, oh, there's all this cool stuff happening.
Yeah.
And then I feel like then on like a more micro level, it's like Belfast was kind of like this epicenter, but now like some serious stuff happening in like the highways and the byways.
Yeah.
Like down the lanes
yeah.
of nondescript villages where it's, what was the phrase you used? Makers,
bakers, creators.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on.
I love it.
Mm.
I love it. I think it's so important. And even just to share your stories with in business, I think is just beautiful. And I don't think people really realize that you can do that. I think there's a lot of separate things for those things, if you get me. Things for those things. But, you know, I never thought that I would be making pickles and bagels. You know, I like to write. Haven't written in a while, but I've been creating, you know. So I think mix it up, guys. Don't mm-hmm. be scared to start mm-hmm. as well.
Do you ever sing or rap in your kitchen?
No. I sing sometimes. But.
You sing sometimes? If I was to like walk down the lane or walk past the lane at like 5 a.m., what would be on your playlist?
Foy Vance.
Oh, this is perfect. What a tie-in.
I love a bit of Foy.
Mm.
Yeah.
I was born in the Vale of Angels. You know what he's talking about in that song?
No.
Banger. Banger's called The Veil of Angels.
Never knew that.
Yeah. Very, very interesting. 74 in time for Christmas to my mother something. No, to my father Hugh and mother Anne Marie.
Oh my.
Yeah, The Veil of Angels. It's like, there was a monastery there or something.
Wow.
Possibly. I'm going to make up a ridiculous fact that's not true, but something like, but not necessarily. It's like the point where Christianity entered Ireland or something bananas wow. like that.
That's crazy.
But yeah. Foy?
I like a bit of local folky stuff, you know?
I just thought you were going to say local Foy. Just commit. I only listen to local artists called Foy.
I still have the American in me, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I came here and I thought there were going to be redheads everywhere and, you know.
Oh, I don't know why in my head I thought you said rednecks. Did you think that too? Why did we think that? So funny.
Just a bunch of rednecks up in here.
I could just think of the theme.
You know where there's rednecks? Dromore County, Tyrone. Get that place out of my sight.
I'm saying nothing. Oh my gosh.
There's going to be people protesting outside the studio next time.
So I think I just like that, you know, local treasures.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's funny. Whenever, you know, Americans come over, you, of course, have to bring them to the Fiddly D pubs, you know? That's the only place you go where the fiddle's being played. You know what I mean? And they're hard to find these days, too.
Oh, yeah. Look, the Fiddly D's a dying breed.
See?
Bro, it's Kelly's getting that monopoly.
Oh, my gosh.
They're monopolizing the Fiddly D market.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those things are dying out, which is sad. And we got to keep them alive, I think. And mm-hmm. I think we are in an age where people are starting to remember mm-hmm. and appreciate those old things, those old arts, even poetry. Like, I used to be part of the poetry community in Belfast and open mic nights and stuff like that. And I love that. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, it was crazy. You get some crazy people, but it's still amazing. It's still their story told how they want to tell it.
Interesting. I feel like poetry could be about the trend.
Oh,
just when you say that, like, you know, like vinyl kind of was doing the thing for a while. Like, poetry's kind of primed for like a bit of a revival.
It is, and I think Northern Ireland has a good bunch of poets.
Oh yeah,
for sure. Which we will have in Bethel's Kitchen Coffee Shop when we open.
The end game,
definitely open mic nights for sure.
I remember listening to a Desert Island Disc, like the BBC interview series where they ask famous people about if they were stuck on a desert island, what albums would they bring with them?
Okay.
And Seamus Heaney actually did one. It was so niche because usually like people like Ed Sheeran, you know, but I guess Seamus Heaney kind of like in a way was Ed Sheeran of his industry and his time.
Yeah.
But one of the questions they ask is like, if you take one item with you that's not the complete works of Shakespeare or the Bible, such a BBC question, what would you bring? And Seamus Heaney said Doc Martin boots. What a hero.
What? That's crazy.
Unexpected.
That's just very like, unexpected.
So I'm picturing like Doc Martin boots, poetry, fiddles, bagels and pickles, down the lane. Let's go.
Yeah, for sure.
So the end game's the coffee shop.
Yeah, for sure. Shops.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You want the empire?
Yeah. Go big or go home.
You're right. Go back to Michigan.
Well, you can have a couple homes for sure.
Yeah, that's true. How's your identity shifted over the last 20 years?
Oh my gosh.
Heck, you kept your accent.
Says everybody down the lane.
Right.
First thing they say.
Right. When you go back to Michigan, I need to say home, but I'll say Michigan.
Yeah.
Do people think your accent's changed?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's just
Irish.
You're just in the middle.
Yeah. Can't control it anymore. Couldn't control it for now.
Still, you've kept it pretty strong, I would say. Some people just like.
I know.
The flip.
Yeah. That's another thing that I love about my little kitchen window is I get to meet so many different people, you know, and hear, and they share their stories with me.
What are they, donuts?
Oh, my. Let's not even go there. Do you have any baguettes? Do you have a fry? Go down the road. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. There's a few discouraging people that say things like that.
So I work.
Do you have any sandwiches? Yeah, filled bagels.
No, proper sandwiches.
Bread. Brown.
No, but right enough. Sorry, I interrupted you. The whole identity thing?
Yeah, it's been a flipping journey.
Mm.
Massive. Massive. Because when I came here, I was like 21, young, just had never lived on my own.
Child bride.
Yeah, that bride. And I really think that I became an adult here, like a proper, you know, had to make decisions. And even that, after getting divorced, you know, making my own decisions, you know, all that stuff was just a whole different life, you know? So yeah, I've had some adventures here that have shaped me. And funny enough, one of my books is called Finding Black Gold on the Emerald Isle, which is so interesting because I'm adopted and my parents were Caucasian. Mm-hmm. So for me, like finding my identity as a black woman, how did I find that in Northern Ireland of all places? Such a crazy story. But yeah, I definitely did. And it's been, that's been a pretty big deal here in my 20 plus years.
Very specific question.
Yeah.
The context for this is my stepsister is half Jamaican.
Okay.
Where do you get your hair cut? And what? Where do you get your products?
Oh, my word.
And what about skincare? Yeah.
See the difference between when I first came here till now? My word. A world of difference.
Right.
Like, and I mean, just to say this for anybody who doesn't know, don't touch someone's hair just because it's a different texture to yours and they're brown. Don't just touch their hair. Mm-hmm. It's not okay. So yeah, because I've had a lot of people just come and touch my hair. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you get to learn because it's an interesting thing being African-American in Northern Ireland.
Sure. I've said on the show before, the first time I saw a black man, black person, I think I might have been 9.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. And I grew up in Lisburn.
Was it me? Not the man, but the woman. What about the black woman?
Times have changed.
I've definitely had those kids. Definitely.
It wasn't even Northern Ireland. It was, speaking of the devil, it was down in Cork.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Kind of like, and so, you know, I was born in 95. So,
yeah.
Like, definitely, like, there would have been way more ethnicities and more cultures in the south of Ireland than the north of Ireland because of the Troubles.
Okay.
And then even like when I left Northern Ireland when I was 18, so what year was that? 2016. In the 3 years I was away and I came back, I felt like there was a huge change.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, you know, and I lived like Donegal Road, Botanic sort of area.
Yes.
I was like, bro, hello, New York.
I know. Like, yes. Yeah. And in even in Lisburn, I think the majority of black folk would be the army men, too.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I didn't have a problem with. I mean, let's just be real.
Oh, shucks.
Yeah, it's a whole different story there. But yeah, I remember being, because we started off in Lisburn, and I remember this like cute little old couple. Now, don't forget, I was expecting redheads everywhere. So you have stereotypes everywhere you go.
And when I lived in Rwanda for a while, and like everyone touched my hair.
Yeah.
And they were like pulling the hair out of my legs. They were like, what's happening there?
Yeah, yeah, I get you.
So there is same, a bit of that. Same in
China.
Well.
I went to China and yeah, but yeah, I wasn't expecting it to be honest. But I remember this like little old couple and they were so cute. And I was like, oh, hi. And they came out to me and they're like, where are you from? And I'm like,
ain't from Lisburn.
I'm from Michigan. Like, why are you talking so slowly? Because they thought I was from Africa somewhere. I didn't know how to speak English.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just a lot of weird experiences like that. And, yeah, trying to find a hairdresser was shocking. I just ended up doing my own hair on YouTube. Thank God for YouTube. But, yeah, it's been an adventure. And even raising mixed kids in Northern Ireland, it's been interesting. even hair, like, because all three of us, our hair is different, different curl texture, different everything. So just have to figure it out yourself, I think.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of things burst in Northern Ireland, which I'm proud to be a part of, especially the black poetry scene was a part of that for a while. And just the whole poetry scene in Northern Ireland and just seeing people be able to have a voice to their creativity, I think is so important, especially when you're, you know, somewhere else that you weren't born. You need that. You need to have that outlet for your mental health and everything, you know? So It's grown a lot. Northern Ireland has grown a lot.
Sure.
Since I first arrived. Yeah. And we're getting black people in Drumore more too.
Bro, it's happening. Shout out to Caribou who takes the bus with me.
Amazing.
Hero.
I mean, we wave at each other like, hey. It's the truth.
I'm sad there's a wave. I just thought there would have been just like a non-verbal, just like looking at each other's eyes and just a nod. Just like.
Only in Belfast. But Drumore, it's a little bit more like, hey, you're here. I'm here too.
So awesome.
But yeah.
From an outsider's perspective, as someone who was, you know, you grew up outside of this place and you still carry, you know, multiple different identities to this place. What would you say Northern Ireland's superpower is?
Oh, wow.
That we maybe can't see because we're so blind to it. I was a bit aggressive, wasn't I? Blind to it. Daniel's laughing at me.
That's a lot. That's a lot. I think, to be honest, the beauty. And when I say beauty, it's not just, you know, the beautiful land and everything that you have here. It's the beauty of the people. I think that that's way overlooked. Mm. I think because there's been so much trouble, lack of a better word, you forget the beauty of the and the resilience of the people here and the kindness of the people here. I think it gets tossed to one side. One of my biggest culture shocks of when I came here was that I would be an encourager, and I like to encourage people or just, you know, tell the truth. And I remember saying to people like, oh, I love your hair. Oh, I love your outfit. And people are just like, oh, I got it in the charity shop. Oh, I just washed it. That's because I just washed it. And
I'm like, this what? Hair, charity shop.
Yeah, no.
Like, oh, sorry. I actually didn't realize it was a wig. Apologies. It looks great.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Clothes, hair. I just washed it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I'm just,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So for me, like, calling out beauty in people, saying the truth to encourage people. People just sweep it away. They're just like, what? And that's, again, probably why the most asked question is, why would you come here? Mm-hmm. Why would you come to Northern Ireland from Michigan?
Right.
And then you say love, and then they're like, oh, that's the only reason. But it's a beautiful place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's a the people are genuinely beautiful, mm-hmm. I believe, and like absolute treasure.
Mm.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Plane starting to land. If you have visitors from out of town coming to Northern Ireland, where would you take them? What would you show them?
To the pub.
A Fiddly D pub?
A Fiddly D pub.
Mm.
Of course, to all the places you would normally go. But then I love just random Bethel's Kitchen places. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Places where not everybody's going to go. People that not everybody's going to meet, you know.
Go on, shout us out somewhere.
I mean, I don't know. Like, it's been a while since I've had some visitors from
America. Yeah, sure. You're like, bro, I've been rolling bagels.
Yeah,
bro.
I've been rolling bagels. My brain's bagels and pickled. But I don't know. Like, it has been a while, but definitely Fiddly D places. Do you remember Clenahan's? Is it closed or
yes,
what?
Thank you for bringing this up.
Oh, my gosh.
Right, so Boyle's off Drumore?
Yeah.
Gone. Clenahan's off Moira? Gone.
Loved that place.
Like, these are some goated Fiddly D spots that are just disappearing, bro.
And that's scary. You know, as a business owner, that's scary.
Yeah.
That's like my pre-January to the kindness man. You know, you're just like, people, places are disappearing. Mm-hmm. The small spots are disappearing. You know, be careful. You're going to get ate up real quick. And it's just trying to keep that focus. Stay authentic. Keep going, you know, because it is scary times. It is. Like, I loved Clenahan's. That's number one place where I would take any American. And yeah.
It's just can't make it work with the rates and the electric. And
it is scary.
Staff. It's just.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It's very tough.
Interesting.
So. Yeah. Wonder what's going to happen to Boyle's.
I don't know. You probably know more than I do.
I do.
I felt like calling somebody, like one of the big hospitality guys here. And I was like, please just buy it and keep it because we love it so much.
No, it's beautiful.
But yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
What a time to be alive.
I know.
Yeah.
It is indeed.
I enjoyed this. This was really fun.
Thank you.
The final question. Go on, Roska. Go on, mate.
All right. So if you could go back in a time machine to an 18-year-old version of yourself, what would you say?
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh my gosh.
It's quite the pickle, isn't it?
This guy.
You.
This dude.
Oh, dear. Oh, it might be. Oh, dear.
Oh, go for it. Go in. I'm going to put my seatbelt on. Hang on.
Oh, my gosh. No, don't. I would say to myself, don't be scared to adventure, but don't just fall in love with the potential.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That's my biggest weakness, the potential. Yeah, see past it, but still see the potential, but don't just see the potential.
That is not easy.
Yeah.
Particularly, I'm going to say, for people like us.
Yeah.
Where you just see potential everywhere.
Yeah.
Wise words to end with. Well, Ada, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. Big shout out to NI Connections. Thank you so much for making this episode possible. Like we said earlier, niconnections.com is where you can check out all of the resources that we mentioned. It's where you can sign up for the newsletter. And other than that, keep rolling.
Will do.
Roll the dough. See you down the alleyway. Let's go. There'll be a link to Orletta's shop in the description of the episode. What do you want? Socials? Are you particularly strong on one social we could plug for
Instagram,
you? Instagram. Instagram. Great. We'll throw Instagram and a Google Maps link down there. You can make a note of that, Daniel. It'd be awesome. And thank you for producing today's episode. And thank you for listening or watching. And thank you for coming all the way from Dromore to the studio.
Thank you.
Loved it. Thank you so much.